how do we know all of this wasn't just set up from the very beginning to continue the narrative that they've done some for the past 100 years? I mean, they control both sides of the narrative, and this was the narrative. This was the narrative to basically call Trump all these names, say all these things about Trump to help push him to reelection in 2020. Now, you know, you said it yesterday, and you're absolutely right. I mean, I'd rather have him back in the office than Hillary Clinton. But does that mean that we've been just as programmed as the rest of them? Of course, Hillary Clinton said that she's not running for the office again. Praise God, we have to look at her face again. But does that mean that we're going to have to support Trump again over the lesser of two evils? I've got to give these guys credit, Austin. From a manipulation standpoint, from a psychop, these guys are just masters of this. I mean, they've been doing it for so long now with their Kabbalah and their energy fields and all the weird stuff that they do and the veil around everybody's eyes that can't see and know the truth. I mean, this is some weird stuff that's going on, and it's going to all go back to the spiritual realms, because remember, it's all about rebuilding the third temple of these guys. The Masonic lodges have been absolutely just convicted and committed to building a third temple for hundreds of years now. And these guys are now pushing, because remember, the Masonic lodges, all that Mason stuff is all based on Kabbalah. And it's all about rebuilding that temple, bringing in the Antichrist. In fact, a very, very good book review that was just done by Robert David Steele. It's called Kushner, Inc., Greed, Ambition, and Corruption by Vicki Ward. And what Steele did, he basically did a Cliff Notes version of this on his website. And I posted it on healthmasters.com. And it's very, very good. It's basically the most provocative book ever, as far as I've ever seen, as far as what's going on with the Kushners in the White House. And it talks about this in detail, including the Messiah complex, so to speak, or the bringing in the Messiah through the thing. And it's just interesting. It says, Ivanka Trump Kushner is Kushner's shadow throughout the book, despite some efforts by the author to suggest what Ivanka had the ability in the family, which tracks with the alleged homosexuality of Charles Kushner and the alleged homosexuality of Jared Kushner. Ivanka, on the other hand, sad spectacle of an unloved daughter visiting her boarding school without a father or mother, getting major breast enhancements as a young lady, perhaps to increase her sex appeal to her whatever. And you need to read this. This is very, very, very good. Kushner may or may not know this, that Kushner does not love her. She is a shiska, a tool toward power, and however much she might try to comply with conversion, she is his shiska whore to the end, her wealth being his to steal and dispose of over time, and the children are half-breeds, not of the Jewish bloodline of the mother, so to be sidelined when the time is right. You need to read this article. Steele really did a good job reviewing this book and going into detail about this, you know, what's going on with all of this. This Kushner was a rotten student, and the third of five tracks at his admission at Harvard as a result. Charles Kushner's bribery of Harvard is directly tied into the book. I mean, this goes on and on. Yes, this is that book. And at the very end, I'm not going to read you any more because I don't want to get redundant with it, but the very end of this article, which you all need to read, in fact, I sent it to Robert David Steele and told him it was excellent. It was a much read. I also sent it to Steve Quayle to post on his website. And it says, the final paragraph, Zionists are describing Jared Kushner as the new Messiah, who is making possible the rebuilding of the third temple in Jerusalem. That would, if it came to pass, lead to a third world war between the Zionists, backed up by their basically whore, the United States, and the Muslims, and the Russians and Chinese laughing at the sidelines. This is what America has become. Two entitled and stunningly ignorant brats with the run of the White House conducting treasonous and criminal meetings worldwide with no adult moral supervision.
Yep.
Time has come to the President of the United States to wake up and clean house, starting with his in-laws. He can't clean it. I've told this to Robert repeatedly. He can't clean it. Trump is basically part of it. You know, he's just being used as a figurehead to cover up what these guys are doing. He's not going to go in and clean this, because remember, the media is Rothschild controlled. That's why I really believe this whole thing's been a psychop for the past 2 years. The media is Rothschild controlled. The major corporations in the United States are all Rothschild controlled. Trump's finances and the billions of dollars in bailouts he got back in the 90s because they said he was worth more basically not being bankrupt than he was being bankrupt is Rothschild controlled. The entire country is in the clutches of these Sabbatean Kabbalist Luciferians with giant talons stretched around the planet, you know, with a blood-sucking vampire hanging on the planet's umbilical cord. I mean, it's unbelievable the visual that you have to paint to show what these guys really are. And that's what we're dealing with. And so to think that Trump's going to suddenly throw Jared out and Ivanka out, you know, when he just gave the Golan Heights, which he didn't have the ability to give that. He signed a paper saying the Golan Heights belonged to Israel, and he didn't have the right to do that. It's not a legal binding international document. I mean, he just makes stuff up as he goes. Why? To facilitate this. Because remember, with the Christian churches have been brought into Zionism over the past 200 years because of Darby. Now remember, Darby was an occultist. He used terms like, you know, the architect of the universe. He was involved with Masonic teachings and he was Kabbalist. You got to understand who this guy was. And he twisted all of the facts of the Bible to make his belief known and was basically eviscerated for it. And then major like Moody Institute started picking up the stuff and started promoting it and pushing it. And then we started getting this push to the whole thing. They really believe, Austin, that Jesus came, was supposed to be the Messiah and rule the world through Israel, and didn't get the job done. And history stopped on God's stopwatch, his historical stopwatch, and had to be rebooted now with the rebuilding of the third temple and the coming of this Messiah, which could very, very easily be Jared Kushner. And so this whole thing is twisted up. I mean, it's really, really twisted, and they've done this to Christianity on purpose because they had to defang Christianity, so to speak. If you want to render a pit viper useless, you defang it. If you want to render an attack animal useless, you basically take its teeth out. And they had to defang Christianity, and that's what they've done. They've taken the ability of us to bite back, and we become part integrated into their protocol with the entire junk that they've done in far as pushing the third temple. And you've got to see what they've done to Christianity with Zionism. I had, years ago, I was on the Hagman show, and they had another guest who was on the Hagman show who was a hardcore Zionist, and he's a Christian. And every time I'd get on the show, he'd send me a detailed explanation of everything that I said and why it was wrong based on Kabbalah teachings. And I finally said to him, I said, look, dude, we're not going to agree on this. I said, we agree on 95% of what we both talk about, but I'm not a Zionist. You are. And I said, you're not going to convert me back to Zionism. I said, I was always on the fence with that, because remember, when I was young, I was raised in the Lutheran church. And then all of a sudden I became a Christian as far as, you know, converting and committing my life to Christ when I was 23 years old, because I had fallen away. And not that I'd ever understood what being born again really was in the Lutheran church, because they don't really push that emphasis like that. And what happened is, when I became a Christian and really committed my heart, my life to Christ at 23, I started hearing all of this eschatology stuff. And I remember I had a guy who came to me years ago. He owned a major TV network here, not a network, a station, had several stations with it in Orlando. And I had appeared, Austin, as a guest on the show multiple times talking about health. And he came to my house, gosh, this was back in the 90s. And he's dead now. And I'm not going to mention any names out of respect for his family. And the other guy who was with him, he's got Alzheimer's now. He was another guy who was a big – I shouldn't even be telling you guys this stuff. He was another big guy on the show, as far as the guy who interviewed me, along with another lady on there all the time. And we were promoting our Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy program. And they told me that we had generated more revenue for the station than the next 8 guests combined, you know, through our Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy program. And they wanted to basically sponsor me on a nationwide blitz to go to all these Christian networks. But they wanted me to start teaching eschatology, you know, along with the health stuff. And I told them, I said, guys, I said, the eschatology, I said, I know a lot about it as far as, you know, the 7-year tribulation, the pre, the mid, the post-rapture, all the stuff. I've studied it. But none of that stuff was taught, you know, when I was a child in the Lutheran church. They didn't make it that complicated. And I said, a lot of this stuff is based upon subjective reasoning or a person's, you know, belief in what they believe in or who they've been taught by. I said, a lot of this stuff is just all assumption. You're assuming this is going to happen. You're assuming that's going to happen. A lot of stuff can't be based in Scripture. And I said, I've got to just pass. I don't want to really get into this stuff because it's not something that I'm well versed in. And they were disappointed, to say the least. And so that was a very short meeting. But the reality is this, guys, there are people out there making all kinds of claims, a lot of it being taught to the Baptist Theological Seminaries, the Moody Bible Institute. A lot of other universities and schools are taught up and got caught up in this Darbyite teaching and what's going on as far as with Scofield and the Scofield Bible. And they really left the mainstream Christianity from that had been around for almost 2,000 years about 200 years ago, incorporating the Kabbalah teachings and these teachings from Darby and Schofield. And what was interesting about Darby, and this is interesting too, Austin, he said that basically he was given the secret knowledge. That this knowledge had been secret and hidden for thousands of years, and it was given to him. Sounds like Masonic lodges to me. It was given to him that he needed to reveal this in the end times and teach this stuff because it was a revelation. Well, there you go. And so he was an occultist is what he was. I'm sure he's up there with Blavatsky and the rest of those clowns. But this is who these guys were who pushed this I'm just going to say it, this damnable doctrine of what's happening today, when they're saying that we no longer have a covenant with Christ Jesus, that Christ Jesus failed on his mission to the planet. I mean, the Bible said that he was wounded for our transgressions in Isaiah, that he bore our iniquity. I mean, it says all of this. It talks about him being born in Bethlehem, but they forget all of that in the Old Testament and they ignore it. They want the Messiah to be a Jewish political figure leader, and they're saying that Jesus came, basically he hacked off the Romans because he was running his mouth, this is what they believe, and you know, and got himself crucified and failed in his mission. Now remember, this we're talking about the Son of God here, and you know, and they don't understand that, and the Bible's very clear. It says that had they known who Jesus was, they never would have crucified the Son of Glory because of what it did, because of the cross and the redemption of our sins. They wouldn't have done that. But you got to remember, Jesus talked in the parables about what they were going to do to him. Remember, he talked about it with the wine, the guy who had the field, and I believe it was the vineyard, and they finally, he tried to get people to help do what they're supposed to do, and finally he sent his son, and they killed the son because they wanted the stuff, they wanted the vineyard, they wanted the world. Think about that, and think about this too. King Herod rebuilt the temple. The second temple was rebuilt by Herod, this huge palatial palace that he had built. He was king of the Jews. He was King Herod. And when he found out, if you read it in the book of Matthew, or maybe in Luke, I can't remember it, but when he found out that the Messiah was born and the Magi met with him and asked him about this, he had all the boys and all these children killed because he wanted to make sure he killed the Messiah. So you think, what the heck, man? He's supposed to be king of the Jews, Herod. He's supposed to be looking forward to his Messiah. So I got to ask you guys a question. You know, when Jesus was talking to these Sadducees and these Pharisees in the temple, and they started telling him that their father was Abraham, and he said to them, your father's not Abraham, but your father's the devil. You know, he knew what they were doing in their Kabbalah practices. It wasn't called the Kabbalah back then, but this weird stuff they had learned in Egypt the night before, and he straight called them out for it. You know, they killed him. They had him killed. I believe this was something that Jesus foretold in the parables that he was using, and also what happened with Herod. It's not like they were trying to hide it. They didn't want this type of Messiah coming in. They wanted a world leader to come in, and Herod didn't want any kind of Messiah to come in because he considered himself to be king of the Jews. So you've got to understand what happened in the Old Testament and who these people are. I mean, how can John Hagee now say we don't have a covenant with Christ? We don't have a New Testament, the New Covenant. I mean, what the heck, man? God must be smoking crack or something dropped him on his head, or he's just getting too old to understand what he's even saying, or he's been so deceived and so brought into this system. And I'm going to say this again that I said yesterday. How many of these guys at this high level, Austin, how many of these guys are Kabbalists? How many of these guys have secretly converted over to Kabbalah? How many of them are wearing their little red strings at night or whatever they're going to do? I mean, how many of these guys are really doing all of this stuff? I mean, how many of these guys, from an evangelical standpoint, have been compromised? I'm telling you guys, I've talked about this stuff on Christian TV for years, and suddenly I don't get any invitations to come on Christian TV anymore, because if you don't believe and toe the line, if you're in a Baptist church, you're never going to speak in the pulpit if they find out what you believe. You're never going to teach Sunday school. You're never going to be an elder. You're never going to be a deacon if you don't believe in this whole thing with, you know, the rapture, etc. They're just not going to bring you in because they're going to consider you to be teaching heresy. Well, why is that heresy now when it wasn't considered heresy 100 years ago, 150 years ago? Why is it suddenly when Samuel Untermeyer decides to promote Schofield and push him into the mainstream circles in the New York, basically, you know, elite world and getting published through the Oxford Press, why in the world is it now all of a sudden that's the accepted principle? Why did this happen? You've got to look at how we've been deceived. Jesus Christ came here to die for our sins. This was not an accident. This was a plan. He did it. He willingly went to the cross. He did not have to be crucified. He could have called legions of angels down in the Garden of Gethsemane and put a stop to it. He knew he needed to be the Lamb of God. He knew that he needed to take the sin of the world upon himself. He knew he needed to be the Passover lamb. He knew that he needed to be the one that was going to be sacrificed for eternity. Guys, I've talked about this so many times. And now to say that it was a mistake and an accident, he didn't complete his mission, and that we have no covenant. Listen to what you're being taught. Listen to what the world is being taught. This is not right. You know, this was not an accident. It talks about what happened in Isaiah, and that he would be bruised for our transgressions, you know, basically beaten and flogged. I mean, it says all of this stuff, but they don't want to see that because they want to have this little part of the world rule the planet for 1,000 years. Think about it.